You are listening to a free version of The Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Friday, May 29th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter. Also on the program today, ostensibly to give me a movie recommendation for the weekend, Isabel Gillies. Also on the program, remember Denny Hastert? When I heard a scandal had broke, I was convinced it was about a real estate deal. But no, it seems to have something to do with him being a wrestling coach. Also on the program today, the clown car. It's going to get a little bit more cramped. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't take a very strident position on the existence of a higher power, but it does appear Donald Trump will be running for the 2016 Republican nomination, and if that's the case, this show may become far more religious. Oh, my God. Also on the program today, what happens when a creationist finds an incredibly old fossil? You can guess. Nothing. Also on the program today, Senator Ron Johnson warns of our children's minds being poisoned by things like the Lego movie. U.S. to get more involved in the fight against Boko Haram. And we are still just days away to find out if the U.S. Patriot Act will expire, will sunset as it was meant to do. And I'll remind you, a lot of those links still on the homepage of majority.fm if you want to get involved in that fight, or the fight against the TPP via Credo Action. Just a reminder, this program is being sponsored by Credo Mobile this month. And as a thank you, well, in addition to Credo Mobile giving Majority Report listeners a great deal, and I know many of you have checked it out, and if you have been one of those people who have signed up for Credo Mobile this month on this deal, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We're going to send you out a one of our bumper stickers that we are getting for our Indiegogo campaign. So you can email us at majorityreporters@gmail.com. But just a reminder, Credo Mobile is America's only progressive phone company. They are giving a deal to our listeners, $100 off any phone. They have all the phones that you would want. Can't necessarily be specific about what phones, but very unlikely that you have a phone or are coveting a phone that they don't have. I also don't think it's healthy that you would covet a phone. Michael, you got to change your microphone. Also, they will give you 25% off your data plan for 1 year when you sign up for service. You just go to credomobile.com/majority report to get that special deal. You can also call 800-966-1665, 800-966-1665, and mention code 501-882, 501-882. Just turn down his mic first before you do that.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. There's some mic that's on over there.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is. Also, you can do, you get, Credo will also get you an early buyout on your, if you have a pre-existing, if you're like in a contract and you're facing an early termination fee, Credo will buy you out of that fee. I'm going to take a video of this because this is unbelievable what I'm watching here. This sort of like how ridiculous these guys can't even plug in a microphone. I've just never seen anything like this before in my life. The fact that I'm having to watch this while trying to do a show. It's unbelievable.
It works.
$350.
It works.
$350 per line. They will cover your any early termination fee that you're facing. Up to five lines that you transfer to Credo. They'll also give you up to $300 for a trade-in on your phone. Just go to credomobile.com/trade-in to find out what the value of that phone is. Also, I want to just mention, some people saw this on Twitter. Somebody suggested that I debate Penn Jillette. Or somebody suggested that they are fans of both me and Penn Jillette, and they would welcome a discussion about his libertarianism. Now, I'm not sure all the outlets he has. He has a TV show. I think he has a podcast. When he goes on to other programs, he talks about his libertarianism. My feeling is that if you have a platform where you're espousing a political ideology, or anything for that matter, you should be willing to have it challenged. I don't know that I've ever said no to any invitation I've ever gotten to go anywhere. And I mean, maybe there's been some shows that I haven't been able to do at times, but in the main, I don't think I've ever said no to an invitation. And I certainly have not invited anybody onto the program who approached me or, you know, and had something to say. We take phone calls. But I think that when you have a platform of that size and you're going to espouse an ideology, if you have any intellectual honesty or any integrity to your position, you should be willing to have that questioned. And so I offered to Penn Jillette. I said, happy to host that exchange. And he sort of brushed it off. No, not now. And I said, well, if you ever change your mind, let me know, because I think your positions are unsound. And then he wrote back, I laughed a lot at that. And then I said, well, I get that a lot. I don't want to boast, but... And then he said, I bet you do. And then I said, I knew you'd say that. And then it denigrated. That's where it ended. But, I mean, the fact is, I would love him to come on. I think I'm pretty respectful. People can go back and look at calls I've had with libertarians. I let them talk for a long time. And I think I show a lot of patience with it. But I just think that if you're going to go out there and you're going to use your platform, you know, you have a responsibility to your own fans. And that's why I get a little bit agitated by certain people on the right, like a Dennis Miller, who would never. And I like to think that, you know, Penn Jillette is a little bit more intellectually, I think, rigorous than Dennis Miller in terms of his politics. But I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't want to do it. Maybe he's not. I don't know. I mean, he's obviously convicted. His beliefs are, you know, they're genuine. It's just that I think that, I don't know. If you're willing to talk about him, you should be willing to have them questioned in some fashion. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report. Folks, it is Casual Friday, and around here what that means is that we have a special treat for everyone. And it comes in really two parts. The first part is this.
Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schachter, Libertas LLC.
And ladies and gentlemen, the second part of that treat on Casual Friday is the fact that the person about whom that song is sung shows up on the phone. Hello, Cliff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that fine introduction, Sam.
So, Cliff, what's going on in Ohio? I should say Illinois. Cliff lives in Ohio. And
we're crazy here, too. There's plenty. But,
Now, I have to say that when I first heard that there was a scandal about Denny Hastert, I immediately thought he was a whiz at real estate, if I recall correctly, before
he ended up putting getting property. It was just amazing how, like, then suddenly there would be big highways, not too close as to make it not, you know, a problem, but just close enough to make it much more valuable. And, you know, it's almost like everything you could ever want would go up right in the area. It was like magic.
When he was Speaker of the House, he was brilliant enough prior to being Speaker of the House to have bought some property outside of, I think it was Chicago, if I remember correctly. Way out there, like just in the middle of nowhere. But it turned out that shortly after that, there was a lot of federal funds that went in to subsidize and pay for a highway system that went, like, you know, within 5 minutes of that place. It made the property incredibly valuable. He was a brilliant businessman.
You know, it's almost like a sixth sense, like a spidey sense he had, knowing that something like that could happen there.
But in retrospect, that was also brilliant because he knew he would need the money to give it to somebody, apparently.
Yes. Well, look, you know, I don't know ever how serious the rumor and innuendo you want to get into on your show is, Sam.
Well, all right, look, go ahead.
There have been talk among people for years, people I trust. I'm not talking about the types of people that just throw something out there. When, you know, I'm talking about the people that you and I both know. Mike Rogers would be one of those people. Who very doggedly have, in the past, when they would go out and prove certain people were not quite what they said they were, would go and build a case. And in fact, in a couple of cases, people were exposed for who they were and when they were trying to hurt people. I mean, we can get more specific than that. I'm obviously
well, let me put it this way.
Let's
tell the story first of why Denny Hastert has been indicted. He's been indicted because in this country, if you take out more than $10,000 cash from your bank, it's automatically reported to I think it's Treasury and FBI because they want to prevent things like drug running and terrorism and whatnot. In fact, it was the thing that ended up getting Elliot Spitzer in trouble. In this case, apparently Hastert took out big chunks of money, $50,000, $60,000, and then the bank said, hey, we're going to report this. What is this? Can you tell us something about the purpose for this? And then what he started doing is he started taking out less than $10,000 as a way of avoiding that reporting. Now, you'll recall that's exactly what Rush Limbaugh did when he was buying all that OxyContin. In this instance, it turns out that Denny Hastert was giving it to someone. And according to the indictment, he was giving it to someone for past misconduct. Now, that Denny, I guess, was involved with this person. Now, in addition
Denny
to that,
was a wrestling coach in high school.
All right.
I mean, I don't know if people know, just to bring that in here before.
Well, wait a second. Before we even get there, he also lied to FBI agents as to why he was doing it. He claimed that he was doing it because he didn't trust the banks.
which is why he, unlike
other Republicans, chose to not regulate any of them or split them up because clearly he had big, major problems with banks.
He just didn't trust them with cash. And
his cash.
Right.
He was fine having them be unregulated, handling the rest of our cash, just him.
Now, so here's what's unclear, and here's where obviously there's something. He was being bribed, extorted in some way. And the question is this. It's hard to read from the indictment. We do not know who was extorting him or why. The only thing we do know is that in many of the counts, particularly the early accounts of this indictment, the reporters seem to write, he did something in his past that that he had to pay this guy off for, and also in his past he was a wrestling coach of a high school. Now I don't know how to parse that. It's conceivable
Look, we're all adults here. This is an adult show, and the truth of the matter is that for you and me and everybody listening to this show, this isn't something one should have to cover up or would cover up, because why would one be embarrassed? It's only Republicans who have terrible voting records on all sorts of issues. So yes, by people who know quite well and aren't people apt to throwing out, you know, rumors or whatever, I was told numerous times that Denny Hastert, in fact, was gay and was closeted and voted, you know, in a variety of ways against the interests of those on Capitol, of beyond Capitol Hill, of Americans all over the country who were gay. The people who share this information with me are the people that exposed Larry Craig, Ed Schrock. I mean, the list goes on and on. Beyond that, Mark Foley, with whom Pastor apparently was quite close. And again, this is an insinuation, because quite frankly, I'm of the belief, like most Americans these days, the 60% who just came out and said they're for gay marriage. There's nothing wrong with being gay. In fact, it's damn well a good thing to be, as well as being heterosexual. So who cares? These guys care because they're still pandering to an aged, a moral elite who think that they know better than the rest of us how human beings should behave because of a book that they don't follow in any other way but this one. That's what this comes down to. And I don't know the exact story, and it may be not true. But you know what? Let's act like adults about
this. But here's my point: is that
they suppress all this stuff, because it's not a terrible thing if it indeed is true.
Well, that's the weird thing about it, is that this Denny Hastert agreed to pay $3.5 million to this individual. This is according to the indictment. That seems like a lot of money to pay somebody to not reveal that you are gay when you're just working as a lobbyist. And frankly, I mean, with all due respect to Denny Hastert, nobody cares about him. And if it comes out that he's gay, at least publicly.
Well, when did the payoff? You know what, Sam? I read this story quickly. When did the payoffs happen?
The payoffs have been apparently happened over the past couple of years, since 2011.
So it was all after he left being.
Oh yeah.
Speaker.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Starting in 2010.
I knew somewhere after. I thought it had been a continuing.
No, this all started from a conversation in like 2010 or 2011, according to the reporting, and so.
Well, then what you say makes sense. It may be worse. I mean, I don't know.
That's why I'm bringing up
harassment. As a wrestling coach, one might think that harassment could be something that could happen.
Well,
for example,
look,
unwanted advances.
I'm not speculating about what happened. I'm speculating as to why the reporters are writing this way, because the reporters clearly have heard whispers and have ideas. But they can't report it because they can't substantiate it. So all they can say is, here's two, here's another two. I'm not going to say it's four. You come up with it, whether it's four. That's what it reads to me like. So when they're talking about him being a wrestling coach right next to sort of like the concurrent to the statement, it suggests to me that he acted inappropriately with
somebody, and really, again, because of who we, it doesn't really matter. whether it was a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. I mean, the problem, the bigger problem here is that he was a high school wrestling coach, and so there's a very good chance it was somebody underage, and even if it wasn't somebody technically underage, it's somebody 18, it's pretty disgusting. Either way, boy or girl, in my opinion, you're taking advantage of somebody when clearly he must have been much older than them. So who obviously did not want his advances, it would seem. I mean, again, look, we'll find out more. And I'm not speculating to be nasty about Denny Hastert or any of that stuff, but it's all legitimate because what's legitimate about it is literally, I swear, when these guys leave office at this point, particularly on the Republican side, sadly some Democrats too, it's almost like this was not a shock to me that he was indicted for something. Because that is just how corrupt our system is. You know, I mean, the insider trading, which seems like it switches off every week. One week they make it illegal for Congress. The next week they legalize it again. These guys have all sorts of foreknowledge of things. They act on it. They enrich themselves through all sorts of, you know, and I mean, there's more coming out now on fellow Illinoisan, if that's a word. What's his name? Aaron Schock. I mean, you know, more is coming out about flights that he private planes that he took and didn't report. And that kind of, I mean, the corruption, and they've just added to it, obviously, post-Citizens United is everywhere. And so this speaks to all of that, too, but it speaks to the even also, you know, to the hypocrisy of the people we're talking about who always say, you know, claim to be these moral arbiters and refer to the Bible as this thing they follow, which they don't. Even if I thought it was something we should all follow, none of them do. They just they have one set of behaviors for everybody else, and then which they're happy to punish people for, and then they behave differently. When the bright lights are off of them, and that's kind of despicable. So.
And let's also remember, we're talking about a guy who is considered the architect, or one of the architects, well, probably the architect. I mean, the guy was the whip, right? And then the Speaker of the House during impeachment hearings. I mean,
that's so
the,
right.
You know, the hypocrisy sort of,
well,
it's really not
Bob
even the
Livingston.
Issue.
Right. Oh, no, wait.
Bob Livingston was there for a day, I think it was.
That's
literally
right.
A day until his own affairs came out.
His affairs came out. I'm just saying, it reminds me of that period of time where every single person, and then Dan Burton was going after Clinton and calling him sleazy, and then we found out Dan Burton has a whole other family, you know, right-wing representative from Indiana. I mean, these guys, they all preach one thing, and it's not just on sexual stuff. It's on government spending where they're all too happy to, you know, Trent Lott, we should cut insurance for people. The government should come in and bail people out whose homes are destroyed. His home gets destroyed by Katrina. He wants the money. He sues for it. You know, I mean, Michelle Bachmann, she hates any kind of government spending, so you find out she's gotten farm subsidies to the tune of $250,000. I mean, every one of these people, if you go through, whether it's on sexuality, whether it's financially, they are such hypocrites, and I don't think there's much out there.
You know,
that's worse
I'll tell you
than that.
Something. In terms of this, I think it's wrong to even look at it as hypocrisy, because hypocrisy, it doesn't. I actually think that when you get these moral scourges, that it is. It's not just that they're hypocritical. They, you know, do as I say, not as I do. It's that what they do actually drives what they say. It's not just that coincidentally I'm not living nearly up to the morals that I'm preaching. It is because they are living such a sort of a suppressed life that it motivates them to essentially, instead of, you know, sort of they have their own self-loathing. They can't reconcile that. And so they just pour it outwards. And so that's why it's not a question of just hypocrisy, like, I'm gay, but I'm also anti-gay. It is, I can't handle who I am. So I'm going to, preach and punish others for being who they are. And that's it goes beyond hypocrisy. The relationship here is not just one of, coincidentally, I'm not in any way following what I preach. It's, I preach because of what
right.
I'm doing in my person.
You're exactly right. Especially when it comes to the sexual behavior. There's a great movie
definitely.
About that. You know, if you ever wanted to see a good documentary, Outrage was the name of it.
I interviewed Bruno Kirby. Not Bruno. Is it Bruno Kirby? Kirby, the guy who
Kirby Dick.
Kirby Dick, the Bruno.
The filmmaker. Yeah.
Yes, I interviewed him back in the Break Room Live days. But
that's right, and this was all about that phenomenon that these guys so raged, you know, at the closet that led them to behave in public in a very, in such an anti-gay manner. And that, I mean, look, that's not always the case. There have been some of these guys who have, and those are ones that I think. Tend to get, you know, from people that want to expose them, tend to get better treatment, who at least vote positively. They just don't want to come out themselves. And, you know, I feel like that's a shame, and that's, you're not living who you are, but I suppose at
that's
least
their
if
life
not
to
hurt
live.
Other
right.
people, that's their,
right.
That's their
right.
prerogative.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I haven't talked much about this Duggar or Duggart, or I don't even know who these people
well,
are.
They're
frankly.
Just another case of that hypocrisy. You know, the Duggars, however you pronounce their stupid name, you know, they're just from that reality show of the the TLC channel with all their wonderful high-brow entertainment. You know, 19 and counting, because apparently you just keep having kids, which I'm sure don't put any strain on the public at all. They, you know, none of those kids use roads or use public internet or anything like that. So clearly they don't use government resources, and therefore they can come out and support people like Rick Santorum as they do. But then if you want to go even past that basic hypocrisy that all libertarians have and go to that next phase, you end up where the son Josh has molested something like 4 or 5 girls. One or two were family, some weren't. The father knew about it and suppressed it because you don't want to lose your big TV contract, but he also... he also made comments like this brought us closer to God, handling this and whatever. They didn't handle it. They didn't do anything except for send him away to work at some cousin's, you know, store or something of that sort. He never received any punishment for it. And what about the victims, by the way? You know, because if this was anybody else, they'd be screaming and yelling about the victims. But, you know, people like Mike Huckabee come out and just express that the son made a mistake. Well, if an African-American in Baltimore had made that mistake, Mike Huckabee would be calling for them to be shot on sight. Right. But because it's his friendly white trash that believe in the same hocus pocus he believes in, it's okay. They get to preach to the rest of us about how we should behave, and then they behave like that. So... it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. I think, honestly, when you do this for long enough...
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If there was a situation where parents were somehow not aware that one of their children was molesting, at least it appears from the reports, like 3 or 4, right, of the other kids?
At least, it seems
like.
You imagine
this story if it's an African-American family? I mean, a black family. I mean, can you imagine
calls
would be
family
for those
who has 19
parents?
Kids, what they'd be saying?
Well, can you exactly? On top of that,
welfare abusing.
How many articles would we cite right now that were calling for those parents to be arrested? I mean,
Fox News literally would just turn the entire channel over to it for about a week, maybe more. That would be the only story you would see.
And frankly, I'll tell you something. I have to admit, I have not followed it that much, but it's surprising to me that when I just sort of scan these headlines, it's impossible to miss them. I'm not reading more about somebody calling for the parents to be held account. I mean, look, I know as a parent, the control you have over your kids is minimal, but how much, you know, what's going on that this could go on for as long as apparently it did, and
well,
to happen
all,
to multiple children in the family, either
well, first
the,
of all, it involves not being in sort of stuck in this almost middle age, dark ages, let's go even further, type situation where, you know, as long as you're doing it in the name of your religion, and if your religion is Christianity, you can do no wrong. Everything you do is fine. Maybe it's that, you know what, maybe you shouldn't have 19 kids because there's only 2 parents and maybe you can't keep track of what the hell your kids are doing. Maybe that's a bad idea.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have 19 kids, but if that's what they want to do, I mean, then
I don't know.
I don't sit in judgment on that. It's just that, like, look, you know what? I mean, there should be some awareness here of what's going on. It seems to me some awareness.
I mean, even on not even just with what's going on there, even how they try to fix the problem by bringing him to a sheriff they were friends with, who is now serving 56 years in prison for child pornography.
That's right. Isn't that it? You're right. The two people that got involved in this, right, were, one of them was the sheriff, and the other was a pastor who had an affair, committed adultery, right? And I think he got kicked out of his church, and his wife left him. These are the two geniuses these people brought their son to solve the situation. All that we just said doesn't tell you everything you need to know about what's going on here through and through, I don't know what does.
It's crazy stuff. I mean, I don't know. Has their show been canceled? I mean, did somebody say like?
Yes, finally. It wasn't initially, and there was such an outrage, you know, of people or people just came, you know, Twitter, Facebook, the usual thing. They finally realized they had to pull it.
All right. So well, that's. I guess. Thank goodness for at least there's some upside to this. I guess. I mean, it's just it's. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you, Sam, but you know what? I guess I'm more judgmental than you. I will judge having 19 kids. I have two, and I'm sorry, but you can't raise. There's a certain point, you know, where you are not going to be a responsible parent.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I have two kids, and I definitely think it's a mistake to even have two. I think
you got there before I did.
My feeling is this: is if you're going to have more than eight, then you might as well have another eight just so that they can have two teams so they can play against each other.
That's true. Like a good flag football game on the front.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You get
right. Also, at some point, it becomes a good...
An odd number seems inappropriate.
It becomes a nice labor pool for your home at some point.
Right. You need to have one more. You need to have 20 or 18. But to come out with 19 so that one kid doesn't get to participate in whatever game they're playing, that just seems
wrong. Can you imagine the kid of all of them that gets picked last when they pick teams? Right. Like, that kid sucks.
Right. All right. Well, let's... I want to move to what's happening in terms of the political race. And it's important because we're seeing it play out. You know, we're seeing it play out. Not quite in the TPP yet. I think we're about to, though. But we're seeing it play out in the renewal for the Patriot Act. It's sort of fascinating because just to catch people up to speed, and we talked about this with Becky Bond yesterday, it passes a reformed Patriot Act passes in the House that would deal with the sort of the mass surveillance that a court has already found to be illegal. That reformed package had Democratic support, has the White House support. It also would have basically functioned to more or less, at least on its face, legalize what a court found to be illegal. It goes to the Senate. The Senate... In no small part because of Rand Paul, but also because of Republicans who thought they didn't want it to be reformed, and then a couple
right.
of
this
and
was
some
too
Democrats.
Generous.
It's just it may expire, which you know, credit where credit's due for those people who built in the sunset provision. That's why you build in a sunset provision, because you want it to be hard to be renewed. Now, I have a feeling they're going to figure it out on Sunday, unfortunately, and it will be renewed at least with that Freedom Act. But we're in some ways what we're seeing is Rand Paul, who apparently is having a lot of problem raising money because he's, you know, the musical chairs of the billionaires. He was the one who was left standing when the music stopped.
Right.
And maybe it's because...
Well, it is interesting. Is he the only one who's come out against the Patriot Act? Is it just him? On the Republican side, obviously.
Well, there's a couple of people... Well, who's come out against the Patriot Act,
well,
yes.
Well, let's put it this way. Against... who has come out against, you know, the overbearing, you know, security state. Not because they you know, want there to be more. They want this thing to be worse. I ask for a reason because, I mean, look, Rand Paul is clearly doing this for presidential politics. And you know, and
that's fine with me. I mean,
no, that's fine with me too. But there is something going on when it comes to criminal justice reform. You know, it was done here by a Republican legislature and governor in this state, in Ohio. What Nebraska just did with their unicameral legislature overriding the governor 30-19 vote and getting rid of the first red state with a very red legislature to get rid of the death penalty. I mean, there are some interesting things going on, and I don't usually say this because usually you can predict the righties on basically everything, but there are some interesting things going on when it comes to criminal justice reform on the right now.
Yeah.
And there are some people, clearly the 30 people that voted for it in the Nebraska legislature, maybe I'm wrong. I don't assume every one of them wants to run for Congress or thinks they're going to be president, maybe, but I wouldn't assume that. So, I mean, it really does seem like, and I know when I worked for a client a couple of years ago, Just Detention International, and we were trying to get higher standards put in to prevent prison rape, which doesn't just happen by convicts on other convicts, but guards and others to really put in a set of better rules. You know, we had a number of Republican partners, and conservative partners, evangelicals, who believed it from their religious beliefs, business conservatives and libertarians who looked at this and said, we're spending way too much money on this. So that's the only reason I asked if anybody besides Rand, because I do think Rand Paul is whatever he needs to be to get ahead. I don't trust him as far as I can kick him. But, and again, I'm happy to accept his help, even if it's for the wrong reasons.
Of course.
But I think there are legitimately other people on the right who are starting to rethink, criminal justice, and that can only be a good thing.
I don't think there's that many of them that are against the Patriot Act. There may be one or two. I'm not sure. There's like three or four that they're trying to get to vote for cloture, and it is unclear to me whether or not they have a problem with the fact that the Freedom Act is too sort of generous, I guess. Now there's Angus King, but he's an independent, right? And so he is I think has a problem with even the Freedom Act.
Right.
And you got Enzi, I believe, who it's unclear to me where he stands on this, frankly. I don't know yet. Mark Kirk, I think he's also one of those guys. There's another.
Yeah, who's progressive on some things, and yep. Yeah, he's for gay marriage, and yeah, and he was great on. He was the only one who voted for the entire package of reforms around firearms after Newtown, so he can be good on some things here and there, but terrible on some others. So you know.
Well, it's unclear to me exactly where everybody stands in this, but I mean, what is clear is that they're trying to get these holdouts on the Republican side to vote for cloture so that there can be a vote on the Freedom Act, and so that's basically where this happens. They may take this vote Sunday. They're doing a special session. It may happen around 5 o'clock in the evening. We'll find out on Monday. But it's interesting to see the politics, the presidential politics already impacting this legislation, and I think we're going to see it impact the TPP more because, you know, if there was a poll. Let's talk about this poll that came out. We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to talk about this poll that Quinnipiac put out. It is fascinating for a couple of reasons. First off, it says that there is no Republican candidate who has more than 10% support. In terms of being present, there's no there are at least now, I don't know how many are declared or not. I can't keep track, but there's close to 15 candidates leading the pack with 10% each. Jeb Bush, Ben Carson. Now, remember, this is important because the first debate's going to be on August 15th. And
right.
Fox has announced that we're just going to take people, the top 10. In the national polls, which of course is ridiculous for a number of reasons, but I don't know
but
how else
awesome
they do.
It's awesome because it means that Donald Trump goes.
Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker. Also, five of those have 10% each. Then right. You have Rand Paul, 7%. He'll be in that first debate if this holds up. Ted Cruz at 6%. He'll be in that debate. Donald Trump at 5%. He'll be in that debate. Chris Christie at 4%. Carla Fiorina and Kasich at 2% each. That means that right now, Santorum, Perry, Jindal, Pataki, Lindsey Graham.
Not Pataki?
I know.
The freight train known as George Pataki?
There's going to be more who are going to be left out of that debate. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember who else is in the race. Who else could be in the race?
And the Partridge and a Pear Tree. I mean,
but the point is, all of them, poll lose against Hillary Clinton. The closest are 46% for Clinton, 42% for Rand Paul, 45% for Clinton, 41% for Rubio. Now, these numbers aren't that important right now, but it's fascinating. And I'll tell you what is even more fascinating. American voters say 53-39% that Clinton is not honest and trustworthy.
Yes.
Not! 53-39% say that she's not honest and trustworthy.
I don't trust you, but you're better than the pile of crap.
But we're gonna. I mean, this is just a snapshot in time. But people with that idea in their head are still saying we're going to vote against every single one of the Republicans here.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Well, you know, look, what we've been saying for a while has come to pass. I mean, there's only so many times you can pander to your crazy base on things that at this point, you know, there are things that are out of the mainstream, like being against, you know, being anti-gay marriage or whatever. But they're on, you know, when it comes to some other things, I mean, they're so far out of the mainstream on a variety of things that have become litmus test issues for them. So, I mean, you know, when you keep saying these things and doing these things and acting like a moron, eventually you're not going to be able to appeal to people beyond, you know, kind of that base of people, maybe a couple others. And so, I mean, so to say that they can't win, they certainly can, but it makes it a lot tougher for them. And it allows, even with that spate of stories that have been horrible that have come out about Hillary Clinton, it still, you know, keeps her where she is. Even with people hearing these stories and saying, you know, I don't trust her, but Jesus Christ, she's not those guys.
I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it speaks to a lot of things in my mind. One, it speaks to how how insane the Republicans are and how out of the mainstream they are. And you know, what's amazing is you're not seeing that reflected in the national reporting at all. I mean, people are taking George Pataki seriously. There's a couple articles about him in the New York Times. Excuse me. I don't think that George Pataki is going to break through 1% in this entire race. The people in New York State don't even remember this guy was governor 10 years ago. I mean, but it also shows her how cynical the voting population has become that, like, yeah, I don't trust her, but she'll be a good president.
I think it is fascinating. It just shows the situation they're in.
Maybe it's hopeful thinking, but it makes me think that, like, when Bernie Sanders gets up there and people say, you know, you look at Bernie Sanders and you're like, he does not look like and speak like a politician, and he's going to say things that I think people are going to appreciate. It's going to be fascinating. Here's one more thing I want to point out. Going to war with Iraq was the wrong thing to do. American voters say 59-32%. 59-32%. Now,
good luck, Jeb.
Republicans 62-28%. Reverse. 68% say it was the right thing to do. But with Democrats, 78% say the wrong thing to do. And independents, 65% say the wrong thing to do. The Republican Party is so outside the mainstream now.
That's what I mean. They're you know, this is a problem the Democratic Party had and started to have in the 70s and 80s. And it was for the right reasons, because we were ahead of the game. You know, we were saying crazy things like, yeah, there should be interracial marriage. That should be acceptable. And that caused a problem, because to appeal to a Democratic base and then try to appeal to regular people, it's very difficult. They're in that position now and have been for a couple of years, and it's only getting worse, and it's only going to get worse. You know, as they, this base gets, you know, the ones who survive and continue to age get hardened in their anger towards, you know, modern society as more and more things change and move forward. And so how they're going to be able to do that when the numbers you just heard for the Iraq poll, it's the same exact thing on so many other issues. Pick an issue and look, and, you know, minimum wage or, you know, whatever it might be. Take a look and see how it, how Republicans think one way and everybody else thinks the other way.
And the interesting thing is going to be, and this is a conversation probably that we will have again in a year and a half, is where do they go from here? Because it's not, even though they're in a similar problem that the Democrats may have been in at one point in the 70s, the options for them are not the same because, A, their congressional caucus is locked in many respects, at least until 2020. And the other thing is that when you think about what the Democrats did in response to that, they went corporate. That's where we got the DLC from. That's where we got sort of anti-unionism from. The Republicans, I don't know where they go to sort of.
They can't go any more corporate. We know that. So I don't, you're right. I don't know. I don't know where they go. I mean, because you're right. The corporate stuff would sometimes would potentially cover up the social issues, but they're wrong on all that stuff too. And they're wrong. I mean, same with foreign policy. That's where they seem to have wanted to go, was to just talk about foreign policy and make it about that. Well, they lose that too. You know, in their bubbles, in their neocon bubbles, they don't think that. But people don't want to unilaterally bomb Iran and invade. They don't. You know, we're not looking to pick a fight and get into a nuclear war with Putin.
Right.
You know, they just they're on the wrong. So they I think that's where they've tried to go is foreign policy. But they, you know, sadly for them, they suck at that too.
Cliffy, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure too, Sam.
All right.
Have a great week.
Right.
Bye.
All right, folks. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Isabel Gillies. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it is always a pleasure to play this song because this song reminds me of who our next guest is.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know.
Listen to the picks from Isabel.
IsabelGillies.com.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Isabel Gillies, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Isabel?
I am quite well. I'm very well, thank you.
We were just talking about how I haven't seen you in ages. Wait, you have still not come to the studio, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh. Remember how you promised
so far,
you would come?
It's the trouble.
Come on. I specifically got the studio right on the 2-3 line. So that you
I can
make
do it. I'll do it next time.
Okay. I'm holding you to that.
Because probably everybody will be at camp. I won't have to pick up anybody from school.
Your kids are going to camp. Sleepaway camp for like what, 3 or 4
sure,
months?
Sure. Sleepaway camp.
No?
Yeah, sleepaway camp.
How long?
I'm packing
like 3 or 4
right
months
now.
Or what?
Yeah, 5-6 months. It's a weird kind of camp.
How long do your kids go away to camp for?
One for 3 weeks, one for 8 weeks.
Wow.
One for 4. It's really 4 weeks and one for 8 weeks.
Is this the longest time that they'll have gone to camp? Or
yes.
Have they done this before?
Yes. No, it'll be the longest time. But I'll tell you why. It's because the oldest one who's going for 8 weeks, he's 13, and this is an all-boys camp, and he needs their guidance. I can't do it. I can't do it. The puberty, the roller coaster, I want to get off that roller coaster and just stand by and watch. It's like if you were on a class trip and the teacher took them on a roller coaster and you just stood by and you're like, all right, I'm watching. You don't want to get on the roller coaster with them. That's the danger, the pitfall of teenagers, that somehow you get on that roller coaster too.
Your emotions align with theirs is what you're suggesting.
Right. And you cannot do that. That is the thing to avoid. And I, because I'm a reactive and emotional person, can go there quickly. So they start having some hormonal teenager moment, and then I'm there with them, which is humiliating and counterproductive and terrible. So
I'm very curious as to what it's like when you start to mimic the hormonal activity of a 13-year-old boy, Isabel.
It's so stupid. It's so bad, and you feel terrible after. You're like, what am I? What I am 45 years old. What am I doing?
Well, so what? Yeah, what were you doing when you did that? I'm just curious as to how that manifests itself.
Well, I'll give you an example. So there was some anxiety over a Latin test. Oh, it's a Latin test. How am I going to do it? And instead of being like, hey, it's one Latin test. Let's just take it one step at a time. See how you do. It's not the end of the world. This does not define you as a person. Just try your best. Right? All those kind of things. Oh, what do you mean? We didn't study? What were you going to get? Are you going to fail? What is that going to mean? Like, I went on the roller coaster.
Wow. I don't understand. None of this makes sense to me at all. Latin's a very important subject, though. No, my kids are not like that. Let me suggest to you, Isabel, that what you should
do
is...
One of your kids is a baby.
He said to me yesterday, actually. He said, I'm not a baby. I'm big.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said that to me. And at that point, I said, you're right. And so there's going to be some changes around here. How about stop pooping your pants, for one? Isabel, why not just send these guys? Look, West Point is an hour north of here. Why not just send them away to military
school?
Because
they would probably say, good, game on. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, you really think so?
I don't know, maybe.
All right. Let's
send
those kids to military.
They wouldn't eat as well, that's for sure.
Sending as soon as Saul told me he was big, not a baby anymore, that was the first thing I did. I marched him right over the computer, and I just said, West Point, buddy, enjoy it.
You said, Siri, can you find me West Point, please?
Yeah, what military academy will take three-year-olds?
Yeah, hey, Siri. What is my son says, hey, Siri, can you tell me where – do you do that?
What?
That's what it's like. Hey Google, it's a command, but it sounds like he's just saying, "Hey man," to the computer, but it's actually a command.
I had
it's like, "Hey Google."
I had no idea.
Can you tell me?
So, Isabel, what have you been doing? What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, I have jury duty. That's coming up.
You have jury duty?
Yes. Hella yes.
Have you gotten chosen for a jury, or you just got to go sit in the room?
No, I go to the voir dire. And I love jury duty.
I do, too. I never get picked, though.
I have gotten picked. I've gotten picked on a civil case, and I got picked on a criminal case. And when I was on the criminal case...
What was the case?
You had to go around... It was a drug case. And you have to go around and say what you do for a job. And so this is when I was on Law & Order, and I said, I'm on a television series. And they said, which one? And I said, Law & Order. And they said, which one? Which Law & Order? I said, Special Victims Unit. And they were like... So they're getting more and more specific, which is making me think I'm going to get kicked off this because it's a drug case and whatever. I get chosen, like juror number 7. And it's a drug case, and it is kind of scary. The whole thing's kind of scary. And the but throughout the case, the prosecution and then the judge would say, sure, you think that this is something like Law & Order, like juror number 7, like her life on Law & Order. And I was like, Jesus, can you not say that over and over again? Because the man who we're sending to jail, all he has to do is Google, tell his cousin to Google, and they're going to come get me.
Well, that is sort of true, actually, isn't it?
The judge in his summation was like, you know what, this is not like Law & Order. This is not like Law & Order Special Victims Unit when you were Kathy Stabler. I was like, stop it. They're going to come get me.
Wow, that is a little bit, you're supposed to be anonymous when you're a juror on some level, I guess. And it is a little bit like, I don't know, you keep telling, like this person who works over at...
at the Majority Report.
At Klein and Stevenson, over at 339 Madison Avenue.
Right.
Suite number
right.
408. We're not going to give your name.
Right.
But even then, who's one half of Klein and Stevenson and not the Stevenson part? Who works, because, you go to IMDb, right? And there it is.
And there it is. And it was so clearly the guy was guilty. It was a terrible, terrible case.
Mm-hmm.
And but he went to jail.
There you go. Well, all right.
So but I still like it. It's your civic duty. I go, I get a little bit dressed up and, just respectful.
You get dressed up? I actually did serve on a jury up in upstate for a traffic violation or something. I can't even remember what it was.
You mean you were on somebody else's jury?
Yes. No, I wasn't in front of a jury. But usually I get rejected because I'm a little bit too, I'm considered too political.
Right. Well, right. But even if you say, you can be have quite a big, strong opinion on something, and then but the lawyer might say, well, but does that mean that you wouldn't be able to look at both sides? And I always am like, no, I probably could.
All right. Well, if you say so. So you have no idea what case you're going to be on, or because you're just going into the pool. And
I'm going into the voir dire.
Right. The what?
Voir dire.
I don't know what that means.
It's the pool, so it's called.
All right.
Ready for this? I'm going to dine out on somebody else's jury duty story, should I?
What's that?
Pretty funny. I'm going to dine out on it. I'm going to tell a story that's not mine.
Okay.
So a friend of mine was on, I think it's Supreme Court, or what's the one where you go and you know you're going to serve in the morning and the afternoon for 4 weeks, and that's it.
Oh, grand jury.
Grand jury. So they say, okay, Sam Smith, and you'd say what your preference is, morning or afternoon. And so they said, Sarah Johnson, morning, Jack Lewis, afternoon. And then the guy says, William Crudup, and he said, morning. And then the next 10 people were all, morning, 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 because it was Billy Crudup.
Oh, my gosh. There you go. They all wanted to serve with Billy Crudup.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Who's Billy Crudup?
It's an actor.
Isabel, so are you writing anything? What are you doing? You just
sure,
hanging
I'm
out?
Sure, I'm writing this and that, but I'm not, I have a little bit of writer's block.
Really?
With one project. So I'm trying to write some other stuff, a couple other projects, but the big one I'm having kind of a writer's block, but I don't know if it's real writer's block or it's because there's kind of a lot of stuff going on because it's the end of school.
And you're about to get 3 to 8 weeks of absence of your children. So you're
right. That's when I might be able to get in there.
Now, is this going to impact your film choice for the day?
My film choice of the day is so strong that I woke up this morning and I couldn't wait till you called.
Really?
Yeah. And if there are any Game of Thrones fans out there,
yes.
As I said in my earlier tweet, perk up your ears.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's at least two Game of Thrones fans in this room right now, myself and Matt.
Michael? Well, okay.
Oh, Michael's a Game of Thrones fan too. Oh, now he's offended because I didn't know that.
It's just funny. I've asked about it the last couple of – I usually start the Game of Thrones conversation.
I don't listen to you when you talk about right. Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, man. I can talk Game of Thrones, but I'll tell you who can really talk Game of Thrones is my upstairs neighbor. She's incredible. She remembers everybody's name for the whole time. And if I get confused, which happens quite often, I either call my brother or my best friend who have read all the books and watch it. So they can take me through, you know, whatever's happening in Winterfell that I'd sort of missed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I mean, I don't remember the names of anybody, but I know who everybody is. I don't.
Me too, but I can never remember the names, but it makes me laugh so hard when people remember the exact name.
Who's Stannis, Isabel?
I know. No. This is not a test about Stannis. Don't give me a test.
Good Lord.
That's horrible. And Stannis,
so
anyway, is going to go down because winter's coming.
Well, wait a second. Don't. Come on. Don't ruin. No spoilers here.
But that's not. Winter is coming. Everybody knows that.
Well, no, we don't know. Everybody thinks winter's coming, but it could be just like, oh.
Global warming. No winter this time around.
Winter is coming. Global warming equivalent of that show.
There you go. There's Michael. So deep. So deep. So deep.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No,
so,
you know who my favorite is? Of course, the Mother of Dragons.
The Mother of Dragons.
Wow, really, yeah. Like, interesting pick there. No one likes the Mother of Dragons.
Yeah, that's
very
controversial.
Who cares what I want to look like? I'm not trying to be interesting. I'm just saying.
All right,
truth.
So you're a big fan of the Mother of Dragons.
I like the
who we should know, we should note, is planning to marry somebody that she's obviously not romantically interested in. So I just wanted to get that out there. All
right, we're not going to spoil her, but Jesus, that is quite a, hate that guy.
Well, okay. Well, now, Isabel, what is your pick that is going to be so associated with Game
okay,
of Thrones?
Okay, everybody ready?
Yeah.
The movie is called Force Majeure.
I feel like I've heard of that.
Force Majeure.
Force Majeure, which is a legal term, basically saying that if something happens that is like sort of basically a natural disaster or occurrence.
Yes, right.
Okay.
And
it's Latin. I see how you've tied this in together now.
You
I see
like
what
it?
You've done.
You like it? And there's some more. So force majeure is it's a legal term, like if a tidal wave comes, then the contract is off, right?
Right. Any type of like force that is greater than humans can control.
Can bear. Yes. Then
death. Car accident.
So it's a Swedish movie.
Swedish films.
And it's on Netflix.
Yes.
And the director is Ruben Östlund.
Okay. Ruben Östlund.
Okay. So it's so beautifully made that it's a European grace and so interesting. It's about I'll just tell you that it's about a family that's on a ski holiday in the mm-hmm. French Alps.
And let me guess, there's a, what do you call it, a landslide?
Avalanche.
Avalanche.
Okay, what's
just figured it out.
What's
figured it out.
What's the Game of Thrones connection?
Because I'll tell you who's in it. Christopher Hivuf, who plays Tormund Giantsbane in Game of Thrones.
I don't even know what you just said. Tormund Giantsbane?
Big red-headed wildling.
Oh, that dude.
The big guy with the beard.
Yeah.
Big red-headed guy, Christopher Hivju.
Oh, the guy who looks like he should be starting like a kombucha collective in Brooklyn.
Yes.
He's like the winter.
Yes.
Okay.
He looks like a Viking. He's huge, or looks like a Brooklyn hipster.
I gotta say, it's annoying how many non-Americans are in that show.
He's Norwegian. This guy.
I know.
This
it's like
Norwegian.
Almost like there's virtually no Americans in that show.
Well, we got Dinklage.
There's Peter Dinklage.
Okay, one guy?
Well,
he's like the main guy.
For some reason, in all of these fantasy shows, like the default is this like this.
No,
weird
the British,
British
are getting
accent.
Too much. British. First of all, British are getting all the work these days, and I think it has to do with just like subsidies, and it's cheaper to shoot
these
over there.
These days? No way. They're just better actors.
Stop.
Oh, wait. We got to let Sam respond.
Whoa. What? Wait, what? Come on, Isabel.
Come on now.
Oh,
you know
you got no problem casting an American as Chris Maloney's wife on the SVU.
I sure didn't. No, I did not.
But now we don't have enough American actors. You know, America's the greatest country in the history of the world.
Okay,
and the idea
this movie is about marriage. Yeah. It's about humanity. It's kind of like Bergman-esque.
Mm.
It's very Bergman. And it's it's good. It is so good. You watch it.
Is it in English or am I gonna have to read? Am I gonna have to read?
Yeah, you're gonna have to read. You're gonna have to read. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The soundtrack is great. It's mesmerizing.
Wow.
And it's really engaging.
When did you watch this? Did you watch it with your kids? You watch it with your husband?
No, not with kids. No. This is you and Nikki, or just you. It's an adult movie.
I'm just watching myself.
It's about to me, it's about instincts. It's about instincts, and that is just what it's about. That's what it boils down to, one word.
Instincts.
Yep.
All right.
Bergman, instincts.
Two words.
French Alps.
Three, four.
It does sound like a really
words.
Good movie. The Game of Thrones connection is a bit pushing it.
That's a little bit.
That show's got like how many characters on it? I mean, you're bound to find 100 movies
right.
that
exactly.
have connections to Game of Thrones.
No,
Game
but when you
Game
watch
of
it,
Thrones
you're like, oh my God, there's the wildling dude who just went on to, with Jon
Snow. I don't like that. That takes me out of a film a little bit.
Really?
He's a pretty small part in Game of Thrones. Too,
well,
so.
Christopher Hives.
Apparently it's so important, though, you couldn't get an American to play it. That's all I'm saying.
Wait, so that's, I'm telling you, man, it is a guaranteed five-star situation.
All right. Well, there it is, folks. Force majeure.
Do you want to know how you spell it? Force, and then majeure is M-A-J-E-U-R-E. Majeure.
Like almost like a French way of saying major or superior.
Oui.
I mean, I guess, is it French or is that, no, it's, what do you call it? It's Latin, right? Isn't it? Or, I don't know.
Latin?
Isn't force majeure? Isn't that Latin?
Oh, I'm sure there is. Well, everything's
no,
Latin.
French. All right.
It's French, though.
Isabel, all right. I'm gonna try and watch this if I get a little bit of time.
Can you watch it this weekend? What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, no way. There's no way I'll be able to watch it this weekend.
Why not?
Because I don't get 2 hours alone to watch. Maybe Saturday night. If Myla sleeps over at a friend's house, if she goes to sleep over at a friend's house, I'm in. Force majeure.
Yeah, you could watch it from 9 to 11 at 10:30. I don't even think it's that long.
All right. I'll watch it.
Yeah, okay, good. Wait, hey, Matt, how's the soda coming?
Oh, well, I'm drinking one right
I
now.
Wish I had a wah, wah, wah. No,
he's
it didn't last very long
Dr.
at all.
Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
to my left.
God. Did you do it for one day?
No.
I tweeted Katie Couric.
Yeah, I know. And there's listeners actually sending me, like, every day they give me their food update because they're taking that challenge.
I think he needs
they
to
did?
Taper off.
There is,
how
I think,
no
a listener.
How come no one's tweeting me about it?
Whoever it was, I forgot who it is. Start tweeting Isabel, too. Put them in on the tweet.
I want to know.
Tweet.
All right. Please, ladies and gentlemen, please start tweeting Isabel about it. All right? For gosh sakes.
Watch Force Majeure, and that's what I have to say. Beautiful June is coming. Winter's coming.
Winter's coming.
June is coming.
It's going to be quite a summer when winter's coming. Isabel
Matt,
Gillies.
Don't make me feel badly and like I'm some sort of mediocre person for loving the Mother of Dragons.
No, no, you're not. A
you
lot of people
do.
Really,
you're making Isabel feel badly about loving
like
the Mother of Dragons.
She's a great character. It's just weird to be like, you'll never guess who my favorite character is. And then naming like one
all
of the two most popular characters.
All she's trying to do is save you from food-assisted suicide, and you respond with hostility. It's incredible.
That's my, right.
My
Thank
favorite
you.
Character, still Ned Stark. All right, folks.
Oh,
no,
he
I'm
died.
Joking.
Okay.
Isabel Gillies, always a pleasure.
Oh, it's for me too. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Later.
Stannis is really growing on me. He might be my.
Oh, because you're starting to appreciate. He's starting to show a little bit of like integrity.
He's got character.
We'll see. I hope it stays with that. That situation with the daughter is not.
And I really like Arya. I hope she gets her revenge.
No, folks, I just like the grandmother.
Don't forget CredoMobile.com/Majority Report. If you want to get in on that deal, it's not going to last much longer. And if you've already signed up for Credo during this promotion, send us an email at MajorityReporters@gmail.com. We will send you a little something-something from us as well. Don't forget, you can support this program by becoming a member at majority.fm. It is your support that makes this show possible on a daily basis. And to say thank you, we give you an extra half hour, 40 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half of material, depending on the day. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And if you buy crap from Amazon, if you are already buying crap from Amazon, the least you can do is to buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Go there, click on the Amazon link, buy your crap from Amazon that you usually buy. We get a little kickback. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. That always makes our day. And you can IM me via the app at majorityapp.com. We'll be right back after this.